2 verses 1 to 13. James 2 verses 1 to 13. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worldly name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Brother Steve.
We're glad to be here today, and we bring greetings from the Monroe Ecclesia. The title of this talk is, Do We Esteem Others Better Than Ourselves? And if you will, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I've got a good many scriptures to look up today. Chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Verse 1 tells us, if we expect to get any comfort from Christ or any fellowship of the Spirit, it can only come to us when we are compassionate and when we have a deep yearning from within ourselves to please Christ. Verse 2 tells us to be like-minded. This is showing the attributes of Christ. In verse 3, we are told to let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Is this what we do? Or do we do that what is natural and find the speck that is in the other person's eye? Wouldn't it be good if we had enough strength of mind to see the virtue of others first, instead of always seeing their faults? Now look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I want you to keep the last part of that verse in mind, and that is to think on these things. So how do we make ourselves think on these things? We can start by asking ourselves, what qualities does a person have that are good? These qualities could include attendance, their punctuality, their cheerfulness, their willingness to study, to work, their abilities to teach, and also their abilities to learn. We all need to look at those things. We look not for one thing, we look at everything. Continuing with Philippians 2, look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're not supposed to look at our own virtues with pride, but we are to look at every other man with a desire to see what is good in him, not what is bad. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Also, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we continue only to see the things that are natural for us to see, how can we expect anything eternal from God? And in Psalms 8, this is Psalms 8, verse 4. David, you don't have to look this up. David asked the Lord a question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The Lord has us on his mind. He is thinking about us, but his mind doesn't work like ours. Let's look at how he views the subject of respect. Look at 2 Chronicles 19:7. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. God does not have respect of persons. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The Lord has us, I've already read that, excuse me. Man has respect of persons, but God does not. The type of respect that man has usually has something to do with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You can bet that all of these lead to respect of persons. It can be that we might want to be nice to someone for the sake of favoritism, like job advantages, or for us maybe ecclesial advancement. We see this occasionally. What part does our heart play in our respect of persons? We need to be careful of our motives. Are our hearts pure, honest, and just? Do our minds dwell on things that are lovely, things that are of good report? Do we think on these things? Or is our mind on advancement of ourselves when we show respect? If we want advancement, we should do all things like we are working unto the Lord, and we will be noticed and given the respect we deserve. I used to have a baseball team, and I had parents that came around all the time wanting me to play their kids in a certain position. And I learned after a year or two, I'd say, I'm the coach, I'm going to play them where I want to play them at. I said, if you want that child to play in a certain position, you teach them in your time, and I'll know that child can play, and he'll be put where he needs to be. They didn't like me very much, but I was plain and simple with them. What part does our heart play in our respective persons? I lost my place. We need to be careful of our motives. Are our hearts pure and honest? Do our minds dwell on things that are lovely, things that are of good report? The Pharisee had respect of persons. This is only a temporary way of sidestepping God's rules for personal gain. Turn to Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do any of us sit in the city gate like Lot did? Do we entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life? If we do, we should know that it requires respect of persons. What do we strive for? Look at verses 5 and 6. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. If we strive lawfully, we have to partake of the fruits, and that is doing God's will. Look back at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Continuing on, if we suffer, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to dishonor, some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. People that have respective persons do not have this pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We should not strive for the advancement of self in this life, because it genders strife. In meekness, that is by being gentle, we are to instruct those that impose themselves. We should try to purge ourselves of all the undesirables, and especially the ideas of self-advancement through respective persons. We are to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and meekness with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We all remember the instruction that Samuel received in 1 Samuel 16:7 as to fulfill one of God's commandments. God sent Samuel to the home of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king of Israel in place of Saul. Saul was a physical giant, but he was also a spiritual weakling. When Saul looked upon Eliab, the eldest, his human judgment told him, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Samuel was evidently greatly impressed by the appearance of this young man. However, Samuel was told, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the Lord looketh not upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Outward appearance is of little interest to the Almighty." So we should be at great pains and labor and expense trying to have the best. Should we have the best possible appearance in the sight of others? Is that something we should do? Even Samuel, a most righteous judge and prophet, had apparently not learned from Saul's sad example of failure that a fine and manly appearance of itself in no way gives assurance of a character pleasing to God. Appearance can be deceiving. God has knowledge available to him for recognizing in any one of us exactly what kind of character a person has, or that he'll develop later. Look at Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. This is Esau and Jacob. God knew Jacob and Esau in their mother's womb. He knew what manner or type of person they would be before they were born. Look at Psalms chapter 103. Starting at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And also Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Our Creator's ability to know our frame is something that we should understand. This degree of understanding should give us cause to do a lot of careful thinking about what we intend to do in the future and about how we relate favorably to our God. We have been allowed a definite choice in the matter. Our Creator delights in accepting gifts and services coming only from those willing and obedient hearts. A gift of service given grudgingly or out of a selfish hope for reimbursement is not acceptable to God. The hope for reimbursement is the way things work for man. It is his politics. Society demands it. We are around it every day, especially those of us that have to go to our jobs in the workplace. Respected person is known by other names, which I won't call, but we all know what they are. We know when fellow employees use this strategy. It is easy for us to see their faults. Likewise, it is easy for God to know our intentions. We don't know the heart of man, but God does. Look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What person can understand his errors? Who can know the heart of another man when he can't even see his own errors? Respect of persons is something explained as you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. This doesn't only have to be two people, it could be groups of people, and it can happen in ecclesias. The groups of people may adopt the attitude, if you're not with us or my group, then you're against us. Turn to Luke 16. Starting at verse 1 through verse 7. Luke 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do for my Lord? Taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am astonished. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measure of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And listen to what happened next. This is the rich man talking to the unjust steward. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The Bible tells us that the people of this world love their own kind. And this is a good example. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Is this what we want to be part of, this everlasting unrighteousness? Now listen to what Christ says in verses 10 through 13. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. How do we esteem others? And how do we justify ourselves? Continuing with verse 14. And the Pharisee also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law of the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Let us also look at Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of a man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin to shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden to go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. We should not expect to be recompensed for the things that we do. For whoso lift himself up will be brought low, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is encouragement to us that we are not to esteem ourselves higher than what we are. We don't know what's in our own hearts or anyone else, but God does. Look at Luke chapter 18. Verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We are like the Pharisee when we find faults of other people. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, it says, for us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. We are to prove our own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We're told in Romans 8:5 that there are two ways to think. We can set our mind on the things of the flesh or on the things of the spirit. We know what the rewards of each are. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 17:26 says, for what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if you will, I'm going to conclude by reading in Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And not us, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Thank you.